creature known as Wren. If Wren had a first name, nobody, including Pendergast, knew what it was. Wren's entire history, where he lived, where he'd come from, what exactly he did every night and most days in the deepest sublevels of the library, was a mystery. Years without sunlight had faded his skin to the color of parchment, and he smelled faintly of dust and binding paste. His hair stuck out from his head in a halo of white, and his eyes were as black and bright as a bird's. But for all his eccentric appearance, he had two assets Pendergast prized above all others: a unique gift for research, and a profound knowledge of the New York Public Library's seemingly inexhaustible holdings. Now, perched upon a huge stack of papers like a scrawny Buddha, he spoke quickly and animatedly, punctuating his speech with sudden sharp gestures.
"I've traced her lineage," he was saying. "Traced it very carefully. Hypocrite lecteur. And it was quite a job, too. The family seems to have been at pains to keep details of their bloodline private. Thank God for the Heiligenstadt aggregation."
"The Heiligenstadt aggregation?" Pendergast repeated.
Wren gave a short nod. "It's a world genealogy collection, given to the library in the early 1980s by a rather eccentric genealogist based in Heiligenstadt, Germany. The library didn't really want it, but when the collector also donated millions to endow the collection, they accepted it. Needless to say, it was immediately stuffed away in a deep, dark corner to languish. But you know me and deep, dark corners." He cackled and gave an affectionate pat to a 4-foot stack of lined computer printouts sitting next to him. "It's especially comprehensive when it comes to German, Austrian, and Estonian families, which help tremendously."
"Very interesting," Pendergast said with ill-concealed impatience. "Perhaps you will enlighten me as to your discoveries?"
"Of course, but—"
And here the little man paused.
"I'm afraid you're not going to like what I have to tell you."
Pendergast's eyes narrowed ever so slightly. "My preferences are irrelevant. Details, please."
"Certainly, certainly."
Wren, clearly having a marvelous time, rubbed his hands together.
"One lives for details."
He gave the tower of computer printouts another fatherly pat.
"Wolfgang Faust's mother was Helen's great-grandmother. The lineage goes like this. Helen's mother, Leni, married András Esterházy, who, as it happens, was also a doctor. Both Helen's parents had been dead for some time."
He hesitated.
"Did you know, by the way, that Esterházy is a very ancient and noble Hungarian name? During the reign of the Habsburgs—"
"Shall we leave the Habsburgs for another time?"
"Very well."
Wren began ticking off details on his long yellow fingernails.
"Helen's grandmother was Marijke Schmidt née von Fuchs. Wolfgang Faust was Marijke's sister. The relative they shared was Helen's great-grandmother, Clara von Fuchs. Note the matrilineal succession."
"Go on," Pendergast said.
Wren spread his hands. "In other words, Dr. Wolfgang Faust, war criminal, SS doctor at Dachau, Nazi fugitive in South America, was your wife's great-uncle."
Pendergast did not appear to react.
"I've drawn up a little family tree."
Pendergast took the piece of paper, covered with scribbles, and folded it into his suit jacket without glancing at it.
"You know, Aloysius—"
Wren's voice petered off.
"Yes?"
"Just this once, I almost wish that my research had been a failure."
Chapter 47. Coral Creek, Mississippi. Ned Betterton pulled into the parking lot of You Save Rent-A-Car and sprang out of the driver's seat. He walked briskly toward the building, a broad smile on his face. For the last couple of days, fresh revelations had been practically tumbling into his lap. And one of those revelations was this: Ned Betterton was a damn good reporter. his years of covering rotary luncheons, church socials, PTA meetings, funerals, and Memorial Day parades had been better training than 2 years at Columbia J School. Amazing. Cranston had started to scream bloody murder about the time he was spending on the story, but he'd temporarily shut the old man up by taking a vacation. There was nothing Cranston could do about it. The old bastard should have hired a second reporter years ago. It was his own fault if he was left covering everything himself. He grasped the handle of the glass door, pulled it open. Now it was time to play another hunch and see if his luck was still holding. Inside, at one of the two red counters, Hugh Fourier was just finishing up with a late afternoon customer. Betterton had shared a dorm room with Fourier during their sophomore year at Jackson State, and now Fourier ran the only rent-a-car place within 70 miles of Malforche. Another nice coincidence that convinced Betterton he was still on a roll. He waited as Fourier handed a set of keys and a folded sheaf of papers to the customer, then stepped up to the desk. "Hiya, Ned," Fourier said, the professional smile morphing into a far more genuine one as he recognized his old roommate. "How's tricks?"
"Getting on," Betterton said, shaking the proffered hand.
"Any breaking stories you'd care to share? A scoop on the spelling bee at the middle school, maybe?"
Fourier chuckled at his own witticism. Betterton laughed gamely. "How are things in the rental car game?"
"Busy, really busy. And with Carol out sick today, I've been running around like a one-legged man at an ass-kicking contest."
Betterton forced himself to laugh at that one, too, remembering Hugh considered himself the class cut-up. He wasn't surprised to hear USAVE had been busy. With Gulfport Biloxi International undergoing some major renovations, business at the local airport had picked up considerably.
"See any of the old crowd from Jackson?" Fourier asked as he stacked and squared a pile of paperwork.